On the footy side of things, it's like the first day of school as the draftees from Thursday night and Friday arrive at their club and they meet their new teammates and they get down to work. The draft was most critical, it felt, for three clubs, the Suns, the Giants, and for Port Adelaide. And power coach Ken Hinckley's ducked away from the introductions to sneak in a quick chat. Kenny, welcome to 1116 SEN.
Thanks for having me, Jared.
How important was the past couple of days for Port Adelaide?
That looked like significantly important. Obviously, we've made some decisions in the off season, and this part of it, I suppose feeling good again is the draft and what our team are able to do at the draft. And with Parks and Cripper have done an outstanding job with their team of bringing in seven or eight new young players to our footy club.
Did you feel like it was maybe the most important draft that you've been a part of?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's no doubt. Well, it's sort of hard because you go back to my very first draft. We brought Ollie Wines and Tom Fleury to the football club, and they've both turned out to be pretty good players for us. And there was a lot of momentum built off the back of Ollie, I think, coming to the football club at that point. This doesn't feel dissimilar to that with Connor and Zach and David, particularly the first three picks coming to the club.
So what did you decide that your priorities would be, Kenny?
Oh, it was pretty simple. I think we'd lost some outside run, and we'd lost a bit of ball use as well. So I think our first three picks in particular all play in that sort of style. They've all got some great use of the football, and they've got some real speed in their game. So, they certainly brought that into our team, and then we bring a tall back in who's going to take a little bit of time to get going. We had a small forward who puts pressure on a couple of our next-gen boys have done really well, and another forward in Tobin that's coming in and give us a bit of spark on the ground.
How involved were you?
Significantly, but not to the point where I certainly get too involved with the selections, because I think that's unfair in this industry that you've got a great team of recruiters and list managers that go to work for... They don't go to work just for the last 6 months or the last 12 months. They've probably been to work on this draft for the last 2 to 3 years at least. And, you've got to be very careful not to interfere too much. You give some suggestions on what we're looking for and what we need, and they go about building it.
So with Connor Rosie, when would you have met him for the first time?
I met Connor through the draft period, but our blokes have been... our head of recruiting, Jeff Parker's like Connor right back in, I reckon, in February when he first mentioned his name to me. So it's been a long-range planning, I think, for Connor. And, with our decisions to come up in the draft, certainly to achieve Connor's a great outcome.
What have your impressions been of him in the lead-up to the draft?
Oh, he's got some significant X-factor about what he can and can't do and where he can do it. He's played his junior year, his 16 year. He was an outstanding midfielder, Australian midfielder. This year in the under-18s, he played anywhere from halfback to wing to mid to forward, and he can do them all, to be honest, with a bit of class. And you watch his sample final series where North Adelaide won the premiership under Josh Carr, and he's a pretty important player for him.
There's that moment, Kenny, after he's been picked, and I think it was in a corridor, and the two of you are there. What's that moment like when your futures are now absolutely wedded to each other?
Yeah, it's pretty significant because you get that instant bond, Jared. You go from hardly knowing this person to all of a sudden you're fully invested, and he back into us, and it just feels quite a nice moment where you get to enjoy that first real moment where you say you're now welcome to Port Adelaide. And because I flew over on the plane with quite a few of the South Australian boys, and Connor was one of them, and I jokingly said to him, "Just leave your bag here, mate. We'll be bringing you home with us, we hope." So when you see him after the event, he's much more relieved, and he's capable of expressing his excitement about staying home.
One of the features of 2018 was how many of the early picks played a great deal of footy. Would he fit into that mould, do you think? Do you expect him to play a lot in 2019?
Yeah, without putting too big of expectation on him, I would have thought so. Most of as you said, the numbers now suggest that when you pick high in the draft inside 10, they tend to play a lot of football. I have a habit of playing young players. I like playing young players. So, of any of the boys that we picked this year, if they were listening right now, I'd say just give it your best because you're never quite sure. If I look back to, as I said, to Ollie, I look back to Powell Pepper and Todd Marshall, the young picks that we've had in the past, that we do play them and we do like to get them in the side, but they have to be playing well enough and have to be able to handle playing men's football. What I do know about Connor and young Boyd particularly is that they've played senior football at sample level and played it pretty well at the grand final day, so it gives them a great chance.
So does Connor literally get to work today?
Yes, they're all here this morning, so it's an exciting moment. You bring eight fresh faces into the football club, and you know they're all young faces, so they've got a lot of energy about them. So we'll see them all this morning. They'll meet all their new teammates this morning. Can you imagine that?
It's Masham Rosebud, Point Nepean Road.
For these boys this morning, they'll be very, very nervous, but also very excited.
Give us your summary of Zach Butters, who you've taken at 12.
Zach's a really nice player, like half forward wing, can play midfield, an elite user of the football. His football IQ is first class. He's you know, he's a player that you know, I think probably will play a lot of football for a long period of time. I've said publicly that Robbie Gray really likes Zach Butters, and you know, I can see why.
And Xavier Dersma, you took at 18.
Yeah, Xavier's an outside, sort of intercept halfback, can play wing. I wouldn't be surprised if he could play forward. He's got an incredible run. Reminds me of Hoskin Elliott a little bit, the way he runs and covers the ground. You know, and he's got long, reachy arms, so he's not dissimilar in that mould, I would have thought. And, you know, he's going to have a long and successful career in front of him.
So you've got your list now, Kenny. You've got your players to work with. When you have a think about it from where you were to where you are, how significant is the change?
Oh, yeah, no, it's definitely significant. There's no doubt about that. When we've done the past, we've moved on from some of the decisions we made a little bit earlier on, but we now get excited about what the future looks like, Jared, and I think that's really important for all our members and all our supporters out there listening and thinking, go, what are we going to be? Well, one, we're going to be with a book, an enormous amount of youth into our football club that's going to set us up for a good period of time, and, you know, we're in a really strong position now that we can attack 2019 with a lot of confidence.
It wasn't all by choice and it wasn't all foreseen. Is it the change that you need, Kenny?
Oh, it's interesting because we've maintained a position on the ladder somewhere between probably 10th and 6th. Over a good period of time. We haven't quite been able to break through. We set ourselves up that far through the year where we were okay. But we really want to become a club that's capable of winning it. And to do that, you've got to be brave enough with your selections. You've got to be brave enough with your decision-making. And we feel as if we've made some of those calls and we're really excited about the future.
When you regathered, how do you address once more where you have been? What tone did you take with your players straight up?
No, actually, about letting go, you know, and moving on and getting ready to go again and, you know, and understand what it is. Because if you spend too much time, and you just can't afford to, you can't spend too much time looking back, because looking back doesn't get you anywhere. You might be able to, you know, either whether it's been successful or unsuccessful, looking back is only a reflection. I'd like to move forward and look forward to the anticipation of what next and what is going to come for us. And hopefully it's a really bright future for Port Adelaide.
Is there a bit of an edge? Is there an edge collectively? Is there an edge individually?
Yeah, you would think so, and you would hope so, and you notice with the boys, like every club, the players of today's competition do come back in great shape. You see them the way they're back 2 weeks and they're training and they're smacking things, and you think, gee, they're in the right space. So we'll get through this big part of the pre-season, and we look forward to the JLT series and see how we go.
Would you think a lot of your players would feel like there's a lot on the line for them in 2019?
What I would think is that a lot of our players would be looking at it and saying there's plenty of opportunities for us. And, you know, if we do this together and we stick at this together, you know, anything can happen. We've got great examples, as I said just before. If we look back for a moment or two, you go, there's great examples of where sides can come from and get to in a short period of time. We're one of those sides who look at that with some optimism and think that that can be us.
When last we spoke, Kenny, you were in the phase and you defined it as searching for answers. Did you find the answers that you wanted to be able to implement for the next phase?
Yeah, we're about to find out. You know, without going back over that stuff, Joe, we're excited about what we may have to do and what we can do with our football team. And that's what gives us excitement. And, you know, we know that some of the things that we looked at, you know, in 2018 were things that we needed to adjust. And we've certainly gone a long way towards doing that. So we won't know, and we're not going to know. So again, we'll just let that unfold and see how it comes out.
Ken Hinckley is the Port Adelaide coach with me on 11:16 SEN. And did the draft work over the 2 days, do you think?
It's a long draft when you do it over the 2 days, but I like the idea of the the live trading and stuff. It brought some excitement to the draft. I have no doubt about that. I don't mind the separation of the first round because of those significant players coming into your football club. It did seem to take a long time on the second day particularly, but when you're involved, it sort of moves okay. I imagine if you were watching it from a spectator point of view, it may have took a lot longer than you would have hoped. But, I think that's a big moment in our football, you know, the draft, and we need to recognise it as such, I think, and I think the AFL did a great job.
Do you think So we've had the first advent of the trading of picks on the night. Do you expect that to evolve, even to sort of that American point of view, where you'll be able to trade a lot more than just picks?
Yeah, well, I would have thought so. I mean, we've sort of followed a path that's not dissimilar. So I'd imagine on that path you'll find, you know, some adjustments as we go and some more opportunities as we go. And I think clubs, you know, I think the AFL again are doing it pretty well, letting clubs get used to it bit by bit, because it can be pretty dangerous. You're using the future of the football club when you do some of the decisions that are being made at the moment, and you've got to be very mindful that not to, to use the term trade away too much is important.
Do you have just a personal view? Do you think opening all of that up would be good for clubs, would be good for the game in the long term?
Yeah, look, I think so. I think we've created all this movement. We've gone down, as I said, Jerry, we've gone down this path. I think you've got to continue on, and I think it's exciting in the game. And, I'm a bit, yes, I'm in the go for it, and let's see what happens, but manage it really carefully. And, you know, and I'm sure all clubs do. We're lucky we've got Jason and Jet Buck heading up our team, so we're really comfortable that the decisions are being made by, really experienced people.
You've been given the set of rules to think about and to strategise around. How much thought have you put into that already?
Yeah, there's been a bit, but there's not significant change.
Yeah.
You know, if we're being fair, there's 6-6 and 6 at centre bounce is probably significant, but you know it's not a big part of the game. But you know those moments will become more significant when it gets those close games come out. You know, we'll be seeing things like that. That'll be interesting to see the strategy that goes into that and the kicking stuff. That's I think that's a great change where you can just get the game going fast as soon as you want. And I think it'll be exciting, and I think all the changes that they've tried to implement are really positive, and we look forward to playing with them.
So when will you fling a whole lot of ideas against the wall on, say, the 666 and how you'd like to manipulate it?
Well, we're having a good chat, to be honest. We're having a very good chat as coaching group tomorrow, Tuesday, so we're going to sit through quite a bit of planning ourselves at that stage, and I have no doubt that some of the rule adjustments will come up in those discussions. And you know, we've had plenty of thoughts about them now, but we'll just formalise them a little bit more, that we've got the whole squad together now for the very first time. And, you know, we know exactly what we're working with, so we'll go to work now in that space as well.
And a couple of the other ideas, which were obviously floated around the competition committee, and I'm sure would have been part of the discussion around the coaches' dinner, is do you think it's a real possibility that it could be a wild card weekend before the finals or at the start of the finals in the future?
No, I don't really know. I'm just not quite sure how that would work and, how it'll play out. I think there's, you've got 23 rounds effectively to qualify for the finals. I don't think that's such a bad system that we're currently working with. But again, you know, if it keeps the season alive a little bit longer, I think there's some merit in it. But, you know, without all the detail, I'm probably not sure that it's the correct move.
So you would have played the wild card game in two of the last 3 years. You would have played the Giants in 18 and you would have played the Bulldogs, as it turned out, in 16. Would that have been, how would you have felt? I suppose the definitions would be different, but you've essentially missed the eight and then you're in a wild card weekend. Can you have a think about how you would have felt?
Yeah, look, I think at the time, obviously to get the opportunity would have been exciting. There's no doubt about that. But if I take my Port Adelaide bias off, I go, we've had 23 rounds to qualify. We haven't qualified. Do we deserve another opportunity to qualify? There's a cut-off point somewhere. And, there's a number on the ladder that says you qualify for finals. And at the moment, it says eight. And I'm pretty okay with that, that it is eight, because it gives you a great chance.
And do you think there'll be a red card system next year?
No, I don't. I don't think there's a need for it. And, secondly, I'm not sure we're prepared for it, so I don't think it will happen. There's been one or two incidents that are really, really unfortunate, and we don't want them in the game, but I don't think we have a massive issue in that space.
Could you detect whether there's much else coming, or is most of what's going to be in place for 2019 already on the table?
I think I know about Steve. He won't have surprises, and I doubt that there'll be anything else coming unless it's already been thought of and spoken about clearly. And I would imagine that we will be, I think one of his key things is to give us the direction for the future early as we possibly can get it, and then allow us to go to work with it.
Kenny, I'll let you get back to your first year players, the newbies at the club. But thanks for your time this morning.
Good on you, Jared. Thanks.